Well, good morning. Welcome to West Siberia Baptist Church. It was a little chilly this morning. They've swapped me up again this week. I think they do it to keep me guessing when I'm going to show up here. So we want me to do the announcements first. So today, 3 o'clock, 6th through 12th grade, bowling, $5 each. $3.45. Permission slip is required. And pizza afterwards. $3.45. 6th through 12th grade. So Ms. Ellen, think you don't have to go this time. January 16th, the 39ers, 12 noon. Soup lunch. Bring your favorite sandwiches. I think that's what I read. You're supplying the sandwiches, but they're supplying the soup. Cooking with Gigi. Back on track, 10 o'clock to about 12-ish on the 18th. Please come fellowship with the young ladies and the mothers and all. That will be a ministry that will help us all and help them. The 19th, the ladies' Bible study begins at 4 o'clock. Luke, the gut level compassion. I missed one. January 18th, next Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Bob, can you get up that early? Maybe. they're going to clean the prayer garden up, clean the crepe myrtles up. If you want to come help, any help is... appreciated. I cleaned my crepe myrtles up yesterday, and I could have used all the help I could have got yesterday. So. You're going to change it to 10?
Yes.
I knew you couldn't get up at 8. All right. And the new believers, lunch and learn on the 23rd. That'd be at 12 noon-ish. For anyone that is a new believer that wants to come learn more, be discipled, please come. Just fellowship. All right. Now, prepare your hearts and mind for worship. Our verse today. Join with me. Give to the Lord the glory his name deserves. Worship the Lord with his holy splendor. Psalms 29:2. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today just as a one family, Lord. One in spirit, one in heart, Lord, as we come to worship you, our true and only God. Father, we just ask you to be mindful that we do need you. And you know that, and you show us that day in and day out, that because you give so much to us. And Father, we just pray for those that couldn't make it today, be it the cold or be it sickness. We just lift them up to you, Lord, just ask you to be with them, meet their needs. And Father, as we come now with this group, we just ask you to open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us and just for us today. Father, we just ask you now just to be with us in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. If you will stand and sing with us about God's faithful love, his love endures forever, hymn 99.
Forever,
for he is good, he is above.
want to welcome you to First Baptist Church. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, He is. And we are, if you're here for the first time or the second time, we ask you to please fill in the care card, whether you have a need, a prayer, or a request that you may have. Well, this is your first, second time you visit with us. Please fill this card. I just want to, I feel like we need to kind of connect with each other. So I'm going to ask you just briefly, just turn around and just greet two or three people that are around you, please.
Hello. 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 Hello.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seat.
Hello.
All right, if you'll remain standing as we sing about standing on the promises of God. Of God and how we can find Him faithful. The series of the next couple of weeks are going to be in the Old Testament, and God's words in the Old Testament are still promises that we can stand and believe in.
Thank you.
You may be seated. You may be seated. We're going to continue to sing about the Word of God and how we pray that He speaks to us through His Word. Children to go to children's church.
So good to be with you. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. We start a new series today on the minor prophets. On the minor prophets, this is, I believe, one of the first times that I'm going to preach through the whole minor prophet. So I'm excited, and I hope you'll be praying for me, and I encourage you to be here to look at all these books from the minor prophets, all 12 of them. And we all have have gone the wrong way, and we had to make a U-turn. As a matter of fact, you know, our roads are facilitated for that, for us to make U-turns. God had asked Israel to make a U-turn. He'd asked them to come back, and to, because of where they were going and how they were, they needed to make a U-turn and come back to him. If you have your Bibles open, we're going to read Hosea in chapter 6, verse 6. And I'm going to ask you, in reverence to God's holy word, to stand with me, please. And then we'll read Hosea 10:12. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And then in 10:12 it says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Father, we are so thankful for allowing us to be in your house. Father, we pray, Lord, and we are praying, and we've been praying. We continue praying, Lord, for revival in our city. Father, we'll continue praying for your presence in your house. We continue praying for, Father, that we will see what others have not seen before. Father, that we will have revival break loose in our city. And Father, that everyone, Father, in this city will have an opportunity to respond to your gospel. Father, we are so thankful. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. We ask these things now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So why are they called the minors? Why are they called minor prophets? First of all, it's because of their brevity. It's the whole counsel of God. The whole Bible is God's word, and God has left the word for us. You know, and many, and I must confess to you, I have not heard a lot of messages on the minor prophets. But it is God's word, and we need to honor it, and we need to preach it. And we need to preach the whole counsel of God, because God left it for us. So we need to proclaim his word. Now, in the Hebrew Old Testament, they are considered one. When I mean by one, all 12 of them. As a matter of fact, they are called the 12. That's the way they are referred in the Hebrew Old Testament. What do we know about Hosea? What do we know about Hosea? Well, first of all, we know that his name means salvation. It means salvation. Just like Jesus and just like Joshua, his name also means salvation. And he is the only one who can save us is God himself. No one else can save us. So he bears his name as well, salvation. So what God commanded Hosea to take a wife, a harlotry. Her name was Gomer. And one of the things God wanted to do was to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God. You know, he's probably the only prophet of all the prophets that God instructed him and commanded him to marry such a woman. Why? Well, he wanted to illustrate the condition of his people. The fact that we are God's people doesn't mean that we're following. The fact that we are God's people doesn't mean that we're living in righteousness. The fact that we are God's people and that we are called saints doesn't mean that we are living currently a holy life. At this time, Hosea, in his time, Israel is going completely, completely astray. And God is calling them to make a U-turn, to come back to him. God wants us to come back to him. He expects better of us. You know, I've learned in the South that children are young'uns. That's what I've learned.
And if you have young'uns or grand young'uns, you expect them to behave. If you have young'uns, you expect them because they represent you. They represent your values. Especially if you're a child of God, you expect them, you know, not to be running around in the house of God. You expect certain behavior from them. You know, that's the same thing God is with us too. He expects the same thing with us. It doesn't matter if you speak Espanol. It doesn't matter if you parle français. It doesn't matter, you know, bonjour. No, it doesn't matter what country, what language. Children are children. And God expects great things from his children. And so here it is. Probably one of the worst times of Israel. Probably one of the worst times. So God had sent prophets after prophets, and now the prophet becomes the model, becomes the prototype. Sometimes God has to speak to us in different ways to get our attention, to say, come back, make a U-turn. Come back. You're going too far out. You're my child. And I am holy. I am God Almighty. I am the God of all. I am who I am. So they have these children. And the marriage had three children, Jezreel, God sows. These are their names and their meanings. Lo Ruama, not pity. Loami, not my people. And God was trying to communicate this to his people. You are going so far out, you don't reflect nothing like me. You are so far out there, the way you live, the way you conduct business, you are so far out that you need to come back. He said, you're not even my people anymore. That's what he said to them. So what made Israel fall? In the book, The Minor Prophets, George Robinson suggests 7 steps that led Israel to such a decay. The first thing he said, and I wrote the verses there for you, he said the first thing that they begin to do, they begin not to come to him and ask for wisdom. You know, when we don't ask for wisdom, we continually make the same mistakes over and over and over again. So it says in 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. You have rejected. You know, the Lord says, ask for wisdom, and what is he going to do? Detain it from us? Hold it from us? He said, no. If you ask for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. Listen, we need to ask for wisdom. This was the first step, according to Robinson, that Israel quit doing. You know, it's like, God, that's you, and this is my own personal life, and don't get involved in it. Big mistake. And then we cry. So he says to the people, come back. Make a U-turn. The second thing he says that drifted, why Israel was so bad, was because of pride. Hosea 5:5 says, the pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. Pride. You know, God does not like pride. God's people need to be humble. There's a little equation. I don't know if you know, like math or not, but if we humble ourselves, guess what happens? He's exalted. And sometimes he has to He has to bring us down so that he can be exalted. But other times, we get exalted and he has to bring us down. Israel's pride had gotten over him. So much pride. You know, sometimes we become so prideful of our possessions. I was listening to one of the news channels, and they were going around those California mansions. 15 million, 12 million, 10 million, 20 million. And now everything is on the ground. We must not be prideful for what we have. Listen, we need to be prideful that we belong to Jesus, that he's our Lord. And in the words of the great deacon, Brother James, he'll pull you out. Sometimes our pride gets on the way. God does not like pride. This is what happened to Israel. But not only were they prideful, there was instability. 6:4 says, for your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, he said. They were so unstable. They were faithful just a little bit. Let me remind you that when Jesus walked in the Sea of Galilee, he didn't say to those men, I want you to go to church. And that's it. You know what he told them? Come and follow me. That's what we are doing. We are following the Lord. This is not about checking the boxes. I went to church. I'm done. I don't need the Word of God. I'm not going to read it. Oh, I don't need to pray. Why pray? You see, they were as faithful as the morning cloud. You see it, you turn around, it's not there anymore. Let me remind you, at the end of all of this, we all have to give an account to the Lord. What have you done? What did you do with the new life I gave you? You went from being hellbound to heavenbound. So what have you done with the life, the new life that you have? So we cannot be just checking the boxes. But they were very ungodly. In 7:8 said, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. There was no difference. Ephraim is a cake unturned. They had mingled with the people. Listen, they could not tell whether who was God's people or who was not God's people. There has to be a difference. There's got to be a difference the way we talk, the vocabulary we use, how we conduct business, how we're transparent with people. We need to be different. They had just mixed, and we didn't know who was what. God needs a remnant in Fort Valley. You know what this city needs? The light of the world. He wants us to be the light. We need to be the light of the world. You know why? Because we are. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You're not going to become the light. You are the light. You are the salt of the earth. That's what you are. You're not going to become salt. You're the one who makes this thing go. You are the one who puts the flavor. You know, I like soup, but I like it with salt. It changes everything, doesn't it? If we become and do what we're supposed to do, it's going to change everything. everything. And so they had just mixed. We didn't know who was who. It was mixed. That's what happened to Israel. But the other thing that happened to Israel, there was corruption. 9:9 says they were deeply corrupted, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. There was corruption. You know, some of us, there's corruption in God's kingdom. I heard of a family that we met in Perry a while back. And this lady said, I'm a believer, but I don't want to go to church. I said, okay. Well, we just want to invite you to come to church. He said, I am mad. I said, well, I appreciate you being honest with me. He said, you know, my brother down in Florida was going to a church. He became very ill, and we were taught in the power of prayer. And we called the pastor, and the pastor said, I come and pray for him for $5,000. Corruption. Spiritual corruption. Big time preacher. They got more bodyguards than Jesus did. And Jesus didn't have any, except for Peter to try to defend him. There's so much corruption now. Give and God will prosper you. Listen, I don't need to call anybody. I can get in my room, lock my door, and talk to my God for free. And he who sees you in privately will reward you in public. But there was also rebellion. My people are bent on backsliding from me, says the Lord. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. Sometimes we backslid. Sometimes we get so rebellious. You don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do it. That's where Israel was. Complete rebellion. They were corrupted. They were rebellious. One more, there was idolatry. 13:2a. Now they sin more and more and have made for themselves molded images, idols of their silver according to their skill. That which they made, they now were worshiping. They took the metals and things of that nature and they started worshiping them. You know, sometimes there is idolatry in us. Sometimes there are things we're willing to take our life or take somebody's life if you touch it. Listen, the material possessions of this world, they're good to take us from point A to point B. In the words of Job, Job said when he lost all his children, Jehovah gave and Jehovah took away. We must not create our idols. Or even other people. Sometimes our children become our idols. Sometimes our jobs become our idols. Sometimes our automobiles become our idols. Sometimes our material possessions, our gold and chains and rings, that's become an idol. God does not want idol. So how does God react when we go astray? Well, first of all, Hosea kept loving Gomer. She had ran off and had children of other men. Can you imagine that? But you know, even in spite of everything, he kept loving her. That's what God does. See, I think we need to be reminded what we say at the altar when we get married. When we get married, we said, Lord, until death do us part, in sickness, in trouble, in tribulation, in high taxes, I'll be with you. And then we say, you may kiss your bride. But think about all those things, though, that we say. Listen, we got to stick with it. I know marriage is hard. It's hard because we are hard. We're difficult. It's hard. But listen, it must not come out of our mouth. I said, we're just going to leave. We're going to have to deal with the Lord. Now, God allows us to come back. But listen, we need to understand that God never leaves us, that he continues to love us. I love the passage in Romans 8:31. It says, when shall we say of these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, not deliver him up from all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen. Who is even on the right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? See, God's love just keeps loving us. In spite that we rebel, in spite that we become idolaters, in spite that there's so many things about us, God continues to love us. He continued to love you and me the way we are. But not only he continued loving her and accepting her, but also he continued being patient with her. You know, just like that, God is patient with us as well. Isn't God good? Can you imagine if he gave us what we deserve? Could you imagine if it wasn't by God's wonderful grace, but it was based on merit, and it was based on behavior? I think there would not be a soul in this church today. But thank God, God is patient. He's patient with us. I would say that he's extremely patient with me. So patient. And sometimes he requests the same from us. He wants us to be patient with other people. He wants us to be patient. You know, we're not all on the same journey, in the same path. We're all different. There are some that maybe they're more mature than others. And we all need to be patient with each other. We are in different stages of life. And we all need to be patient with one another. Hosea kept being patient. But Hosea also kept being faithful. He did not give up. He did not give up. Oh, Gomer went off, and he just kept doing his thing. Listen, you and I have to be faithful to God. Period. That's it. Sometimes we go astray because we keep looking at what the other one is doing. And then we become unfaithful. Now we compare our life and our Christianity with another believer. Jesus said, well, what is it to you? Why are you concerned about him? You and me need to be concerned about, and I'll say it in French, moi. You need to be concerned about yourself. You need to get in the Word of God. You and I need to pray. You need to be faithful to the church. You need to be faithful to you in your giving. Because it's at the end of the day, it's just going to be you and the Lord. It's just going to be me and the Lord. And there's nobody else who's going to be there. Nobody else. So we need to quit judging other people. We need to quit pointing at other people. We need, because we have to be faithful. I have to be faithful. If they don't want to go, I love the book of Joshua. Joshua 24:15, and we all know the verse. And Joshua said, look, I don't know about your house. I don't know about the Ramirez. I don't know about the Hernandez, the Smith. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You stay with it. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep your eyes on the things above. And that's what we got to do. This is what Hosea did. He just kept being faithful. Letting God, he was the one who told him, you need to marry this lady right here. He knew already who she was. And he said, I still say I do. Now you got to stick with it. And he did. And this is why he became a prophet. And we're studying about him. So how do we make a U-turn? How do we make a U-turn? 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. There's the word faithful. And just. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christianity is different. In baseball, 3 strikes and you're out. But people who follow God, God says, I know what you did. You messed up. But if you come to me and you confess your sin before me, look what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to clean you. And you can start again. Oh, there's no one like our God. Only God can do that. We all messed up. All of us. But here is God's wonderful grace. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, and yes, he is, to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to start again. Now let me say something. You remember Peter? God restored Peter, but in the community that he was in, he was always in the mind of people and the man that betrayed Jesus. Other people may not forgive you. Other people may not forget. But God does. And you can lift up your head again. And you can say, Jesus, thank you so much. Here I come again. Here I come again. He'll do it. Maybe you're here today and you need to make a U-turn. Maybe you're here today and you want to say to the Lord, Lord, I messed up big time. You know it. Maybe you're here today and you just don't know what to do with your life. You know, Jesus knows what to do with our lives. First of all, he transformed you. He'll accept you. He always accepted you, but he'll give you a new life. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And all things have passed, and all are made new. That's what the Lord does. Give you a new life, a new beginning. That's what the Lord does. So maybe you're here today, and you want to just talk to the Lord. Just come. Or maybe you just want to talk to the Lord there where you are. He knows everything. There's nothing hidden to him. He knows who we are. He knows everything about us. Father, we thank you so much. We give you all the honor and glory. Israel had gotten so bad. They did everything that they were not supposed to do. Completely far away from you. And yet, your love was still there. You asked them to make a U-turn. Is there anybody here today that needs to make a U-turn today? As the praise team leads us, will you consider making a U-turn? He's waiting for you.
Let the ancient words be. take care. Oh, I will. Y'all take care.
Yeah, bud.